good to be here together.
Amen.
And the Lord blessed us in February with 60 degree weather. Man, isn't God good?
Oh,
and I understand next weekend is supposed to be in the 70s. Yes, indeed. Weather's great. I have a prayer update. We like these kind of prayer updates. This is from Nancy Lewis. About her, this is your niece, if I remember, your granddaughter, I'm sorry. This is Alea, and she has no infection in the leg, and she won't need to go to the burn center in Tampa. Thanks for all your prayers. Hey, that prayer thing, there's something to that, isn't it? Yes, indeed. So that's why we're going to just keep on doing it, right?
Amen.
All right. I think it was my mistake that printing in the lesson handout as far as the book of, how is that pronounced? Nehemiah. Although, Suzanne is supposed to edit those things. No, we're in the book of Nehemiah. We didn't include or add a new book to the Bible. The book of Nehemiah, my mistake, on your lesson notes, but that's where we are this morning. Now, you know, as we've been looking and studying about prayer and basically learning some things about prayer, learning, as Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's what we're trying to do, is to learn how to pray more effectively. Because remember, our goal is that we want this to be a house of prayer to the Lord, right? That's what we're really trying to do, is to be a house of prayer and to be known as a house of prayer, that people know that, hey, I've got stuff going on in my life, and who doesn't these days, right? That I know I can bring my Red Sea events to this church, and they're going to lift them up before the Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. And we've been learning some things and looking at some things to help us to really build and strengthen our prayer life and our relationship with God in that way. And most recently, we were talking about things that tend to get in the way of our prayers, things that hinder our prayers. And so we kind of started last week in this new look at prayers in terms of not just, you know, what do we get from God, but what is our responsibility? You know, when it comes to this relationship that we have with God, it's not all just one way, is it? It's not all just gimme, 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 gimme. We have responsibilities before God. And even before we can expect God to hear our prayers, there's some things that we've got to look at in our own lives, aren't there? See? And make sure that there's nothing that's breaking the circuit, so to speak, between us and God. And we looked last week at some specific things that the Bible tells us will hinder our prayers, or that will keep God from either not listening to us or just not even answering our prayers, not giving us what we are asking Him for when we get involved in those kind of things. And really, what we're talking about fundamentally is sin. You know, that sin is that thing that will just block and get in the way between us and God. And so what we're going to do this morning is look at the prayer of Nehemiah that he makes at the beginning of the story here that we read, because there are three things that I want us to really notice about Nehemiah's prayer that I think can help us in making sure that the channel or the circuit between us and God is open, you see. And it's a good way for us to do a self-check. Now, a little bit of background here so that we understand what's taking place. At the time of Nehemiah, the Israelite people have been in Babylonian captivity. Okay? And the reason that they were there to begin with is because they had been disobedient to God. You see? And through the prophets, God had warned the Israelite people, if you don't stop this, if you don't turn away from worshiping these idols and doing these things, then I'm going to send you into captivity. And, of course, they didn't, and he did, right? And so they found themselves in captivity, and now we're at the end of that captivity time, and some of the Israelites have been released from captivity, and have been allowed to go back home to their land, to Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah is serving under the king as a cupbearer. Now, a cupbearer was a it was probably the most trusted position that anyone could have in the kingdom, because the cupbearer's job was to taste and sample anything that the king ate before he ate it. Okay? And of course, the reason for that is so that if somebody was wanting to poison the king, that, you know, the cupbearer was going to die first, all right? And that would be a warning to the king, don't eat those chocolate-covered cherries because there's something in them, okay, or whatever it is. So that was Nehemiah's job. He was the cupbearer to the king. He tasted his wine. He tasted the food. He tasted things before the king did, so that the king didn't die of poisoning. So we understand that that position that Nehemiah was in was an extremely trusted position. Okay? Now, our story begins here where Nehemiah gets a report back from Jerusalem, from the folks that have been able to go back, return from exile, back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah gets this report. And look at what it says here. Nehemiah chapter 1. There's Hanani, one of his brothers, had come from Judah with some other men, and he questioned them about those who had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. Verse 3, they said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." Now, those are the things that occurred when, you know, Jerusalem was overrun and the Israelites were taken into captivity some 70 years earlier. Okay? And that's still the condition, and these exiles have gone back, and that's what they're faced with. And so Nehemiah says, when he heard these things, he sat down and he wept. "For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Now, so that's kind of the setting, so to speak, that we're looking at this prayer that Nehemiah is offering before God. The walls of Jerusalem are torn down. The gates have been burned with fire. The people that are back there are in distress. Nehemiah is in this very trusted position, serving under the king here. And so he goes before God with his concerns, deep concerns, that so much so that they caused him to weep. And I want you to notice what it is and how Nehemiah prays and goes before God. The first thing that Nehemiah does is he acknowledges sinfulness. He acknowledges sinfulness. That's one of the most important things that we can do when it comes to our relationship with God and our prayer life. You see, if sin is one of those hinderers, if that will cause God not to hear us, then it's kind of logical, isn't it, that what we need to do is get the sin out of the way, isn't it? You see? And so that's the very first thing that Nehemiah does. Look at what he does here. He says, he calls out to the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. "Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel." So he comes before God and acknowledges God's greatness as the God of heaven. Isn't it interesting how when Jesus' disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and he taught them what we refer to as the model prayer, how does that prayer start out? "Our Father who art in heaven." Isn't that the same thing Nehemiah was doing, was acknowledging the God of heaven here? And in so doing, acknowledging who God really is, it's really, I think, an acknowledgement of God's greatness, His awesomeness, and our sinfulness. Because look at what He says next. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, the decrees, and the laws you gave your servant Moses. You know, that's pretty plain and simple, isn't it? You know, God, you are awesome. You are the awesome God. You're the God of heaven, and you're the God of earth. You are God, and we are sinners. That's basically what He's saying, isn't it? We have sinned. We've acted in disobedience to you. We've acted, He says, wickedly toward you in disobeying the commands that you gave us through Moses. We haven't, basically saying, we haven't kept the law that you gave to us. And so our standing, and this is the important key here in this first part, in acknowledging our sin, it's a matter, it's an issue of recognizing our standing before God. He is a great and holy God. He's the God of the universe. And we are sinful people. That's our standing before God. You see, I think that the reason that we have to acknowledge that and understand that is because when we really know what our standing is before God, then it puts us in a much better light in terms of how we approach Him with our requests and our needs. Because then we'll approach God from the standpoint of Him being a holy God who is over us, rather than Him just being a Santa Claus who comes to give us whatever it is we want, and He owes it to us, by the way, anyway. You see the difference? Without recognizing our sinfulness and our position before God in that way, then I think our prayers can often be filled full of arrogance and unrealistic expectations. But we don't find that in Nehemiah's prayer, do we? See? We don't find it at all. Nehemiah comes and acknowledges who God is and who we as people are. That we are sinners and we deserve absolutely nothing. But yet we have an awesome God who gives us everything, don't we? See? And so, you know, when he confesses his sins and the people's sins, that acknowledgement that without God, see, we're hopeless because of who God is and who we are. Let me encourage you to think about and realize that we need to approach God the same way today in our lives. We really do. We need to come to God and acknowledging Him as the holy God that He really is. And at the same time, we need to recognize our standing before Him. Okay? And we need to ask God to hear our prayers. Okay? Notice it's an ask. It's not a demand. It's an ask. A request. Okay. Nehemiah says, Lord, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you. That's a request, not a demand. When we truly recognize our standing before God and where we are and who He is and who we are, then I think that can't help but to affect how we initially approach God with our prayers. The second thing that we see that Nehemiah does in this prayer is that he calls upon God's remembrance. Yeah. He asks God to remember the promises that He made. Now, I don't know if you've ever recognized this or noticed this or not, but one of the things that's interesting to me about the Bible is that the whole idea of remembering things that have happened is very prominent throughout the Scriptures, isn't it? when you go back and you look at the when Moses was given the law, and God was constantly telling Moses, and I don't remember how many times in the text there, as God is giving Moses the commandments, that God tells Moses, write these things down so that they will be a remembrance to the people. You see? And God was constantly reminding the Israelite people of the blessings that He had bestowed upon them. And how many times does He say over and over again, you remember, I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt and delivered you from your enemies. And He's constantly reminding them of what He has done for them. So remembering is an important concept in the Scriptures, isn't it? But it's not just a matter of God wanting us to remember what He has done for us, but it's really kind of neat, I think, that God also wants us to remind Him of the promises that He made. See? God wants, He's made a lot of promises, and He wants always to remember those. In fact, I think one of the neatest stories in the Bible is the story of Noah and the flood. You remember what happened after the ark had settled down and Noah and his family came out of the ark and all the animals, and what did they do? Noah offered a sacrifice there and God placed a what? A rainbow in the sky. You remember why He did that? As a reminder to him. He said, whenever I see that rainbow in the sky, I will remember promise that I made. So God is all about remembering, isn't it? You see? And that includes the promises that God has made. And that's what Nehemiah does next in his prayer. He asks God to remember the promises that He made. Look at it beginning in verse 8 here. He says, remember the instruction You gave Your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to Me and obey My commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for My name. Yeah. That's a promise, isn't it? Okay. And Nehemiah is calling upon God to remember that promise that He made. And that promise is extremely relevant to Nehemiah and the Israelite people at that moment, isn't it? Because that's exactly what's happened. They were disobedient, and so what did God do? He had scattered them, you see. And now they have repented, those who are left. And so God has begun the process of gathering them back to that place that He had claimed for a name for Himself. And Nehemiah reminds him of that promise and calls upon him to keep that promise. Let me ask you this question. Do we have any reason today to think that God would act any different towards us than He did towards the people back then? I don't think that we do. I think that God, it's within His nature to be a promise keeper. Okay. And so therefore He's going to keep the promises that He made to us, isn't He? Isn't He? I mean, do you believe that or not? You see? I mean, if we believe that He is the God, the same God that Nehemiah prayed to, then we should have every confidence in the world that those promises that God has made to us, He'll keep them in the same way He did to them back then. And so therefore what that should tell us is that we should be going to God in our prayers and reminding God of His promises and asking Him to continue to fulfill those promises to us today. God hasn't changed any, has He? You see? So we should have every expectation that He will do the same. If we disobey God today, would our fate be any different than it was for them back then? We saw that last week as we were looking in 1 John chapter 3. We have confidence to go before God if our hearts don't condemn us, he said. See? If we are obedient to God, that's where we get that confidence from. See? We obey His commands. If we disobey His commands, again, as we talked about last week, we know that God will not hear us. Because He's promised us that too, hasn't He? Okay. So God is the same God, and He's going to treat us the same way He did the Israelite people back then. But the point here is for us to recognize that and be able to go to God and ask Him to remember the promises that He has made. You say, don't be afraid to do that in your prayers. Well, let me just ask you this question. When was the last time that you ever prayed in that kind of a way? Okay? In other words, calling upon God to remember the promise that He made. The third thing that Nehemiah does here is that he gives a petition for blessings. Okay? Not only just asking God to remember the promises, but then he's specific about asking for the blessings here. Okay? Look at what he says beginning in verse 10. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Well, the man that he's talking about is the king. You see? He's getting ready to go before the king and to lay out before the king what the problem is back in Jerusalem and how it's burdening his heart. And he's going to ask and make a request of the king to allow him to go back so that he can restore things the way that they were before. It's interesting. If you go over to chapter 2 and beginning in verse 8, may I have a letter? These are the things that he's asking the king for when he goes to the king. He says, and may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And look at what it says here. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. I love that, don't you? I really do. Because you know what it says? It says to me, at least, even if the king didn't want to do it, he did it because God wanted it to be done. And that, therein, brothers and sisters, is what the power of prayer is all about. God will make things happen that He wants to have happen. Nehemiah had to go before the king and make this request. And the king granted his request because the hand of God was involved in it. And that's what prayer is all about, isn't it? To seek God's hand, His involvement in our lives, in the different things that are going on. If not, then why not? What's then the point? If we're not asking for God's hand to be involved in whatever is going on in our lives. Okay? And that's what Nehemiah was doing. Let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant. Again, let me ask the question, when was the last time you prayed like that? Okay? Not only just asking God for whatever it is that's on your heart, but asking Him to really be attentive to the prayer that you are asking. You see, here's an important thing for us to keep in mind as we finish up here. Nehemiah really had no expectation in and of himself for his request to be answered by the king. He was a servant. He was an Israelite serving a Gentile king. He had no reasonable expectation of himself that the king should grant his request at all. But he had every expectation that God would listen to his prayer. And that's what makes all the difference in the world, isn't it? You see, as we recognize and when we notice where our standing is before God, we know in and of ourselves we have no expectation of ourselves to receive anything from God. We don't deserve it. But we also know that we have a God who loves us and has promised to take care of us. And if we will live our life in obedience to Him, then we will see His hand at work in the things that are going on, the things that are concerning our lives. You see, there's a great lesson, isn't there, in looking at Nehemiah in his prayer before God. And I hope that these things that we've talked about this morning will cause you to think about the way that you go before God in acknowledging and recognizing who He is and who we are, and especially our sinfulness before Him. And being ready and willing to call upon God to remember and to keep His promises that He's made. See? And not being afraid to do that. And then bringing our petitions before Him, recognizing that whatever happens, it will be because God's hand is involved in it. So think about that when you're praying. Think about that with whatever might be going on in your life right now. Whatever, as we've talked about over and over again, whatever Red Sea events you might be facing. Like Nehemiah sitting down and weeping when he received the news of the circumstances back in Jerusalem. Your Red Sea moment may cause you to weep. It may cause you to sit down and wonder, what am I going to do? But hopefully, if nothing else it does, it will cause you to turn to a holy God who wants to bless you in your life. It will cause you to see who you are before Him, to confess your sins before Him, and to call upon Him to keep His promises for you in your life, and to involve His hand in whatever that Red Sea event is that you are facing. Now this morning, we have opportunity to go to God and to present our request before Him on anyone's behalf that is here. We just call an invitation. And that time is available now. If there's something going on in your life this morning that maybe perhaps you feel kind of like maybe Nehemiah felt back then, see, then let's bring it before God together and ask God to get His hand involved in whatever is going on with you. Someone here this morning is not a Christian yet. You haven't given your life to Christ, but you're ready to do so. It's a great opportunity, a great time to do that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as such. Confess Him as Lord. Repent of those sins that are separating you from Him. You can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now, this morning, and leave here as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we're ready to do that if that's what you're ready to do, is to make that commitment. We have a song that's been chosen. Wes, if you'll come up and lead us in that song. And before we start that song, though, let me just tell you something that we want to do and just kind of make sure that we have everyone covered that we need to. When we have our invitation, Ted, you're going to be in the back. Ted is going to be in the back, and I'll be up front, and Dale will be up here if we have more folks coming up. But basically, it's just an opportunity to allow. We want to encourage you, if you have prayer needs, whatever, to come and let us know. But we recognize that there are some people who maybe don't want to necessarily share everything that's going on with everybody and so forth. Maybe you want to have a private prayer, private discussion with one of the shepherds. You can go to the back there, and Ted will receive you back there, and he'll pray with you and about whatever your prayer need is. If there's things going on that you would like to share with the rest of the congregation, you can come up and let me know that, or let Dale know that, and that's what we'll do. So if there's some need that we can help you with, whatever it is, all you have to do is come up and let me know, and we'll do that. I have a prayer answer here. This is my father, Joe McConnell's operation went great. The cancer was hopefully removed and only a few levels deep on his face. Thanks, you church family, for your prayers. God loves a praying church. This is from Johnny, right? It's your father, right? Okay. So there's another one of those prayer updates and prayer results. Amen? Great thing. What else can we serve you with by bringing you before the Lord? Let's stand together.